Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. Let me read to you from the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Jeff Bush, General Director of Vision Baptist Missions, I read this statistic. 100 people walk an aisle at mission conferences to surrender their lives for the gospel ministry. Only 6 go to Bible college, of which 4 graduate and go to the field. But only 1 goes back for a second term, unquote. Why a mission conference? Well, it's to promote the cause of Christ. Would you please stand as we read from the book of Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4. And we'll begin reading at verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have to look into your holy word. And Lord, we thank those who have been willing to help the minister, the preacher, as he goes out to proclaim the truth. Thank you, Lord, for those who lovingly do this. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Once again, I read to you from verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye have lacked opportunity. If you would, let's go to verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. but I desire fruit that may abound to your account, the theme of this year's mission conference. In 2006, we received a DVD introducing to us Lisa Lewis. I took it over to Pastor Mel's office and I said, let's watch this. And so we watched this DVD introducing this young lady that was going to go to the small country of Togo. It showed us her mission trip, survey trip. It showed boys and girls asking questions. Why are the trees so big? Why is the sky blue? Etc. But it was questions 9 and 10 that have stirred me down through the years. Question number 9 from these boys and girls there in Togo was, can I go to heaven? Well, the question obviously is yes. And then they asked question number 10, how long have you known this? How long have you known this? Basically saying, why has it taken you so long to get that message here? Proverbs 29:18a says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Do you believe in a heaven? You're afraid to answer that because you know what I'm going to ask next. Do you believe in a hell? Do you believe that there is a place of great torment for the unbeliever? How long have you known this? And what have you been willing to do? David Snyder, president of Baptist International Missions, wrote in January of 2017, there are a multitude of different things happening in our world today that distract us from that which is truly important. Would you agree with that statement? That we are sidetracked over and over and over again. Hebrews 12:1-2, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us not be distracted. Every believer has two responsibilities, either to send or to go. Over the last few days, we have met those who have been willing to go. Last night, after the meal, and may I say this, that is always the hardest time to keep someone's attention after they have had the meal we enjoyed last night. But we had one family going to Thailand, and then we also had with us one that had not only grown up in the Netherlands, but has returned as a missionary to the Netherlands. He is a third generation missionary to that country. I was asking him to point out where his work was, and he showed me, this is where I am working. He said, this is where my dad is working. He said, this is where my grandfather was working. I am glad for those that are willing to go. And tonight, when you watch the video of the child's, you'll be glad that they are there and that you can send them. Because how would you like to live without electricity? To have a generator, yes. How would you like to live in a place where there is no running water? But see, that's where the people are. Do they need the message? Yes. Dr. Milton Jones writes, missionaries are called by God and sent by local churches. God's work has always been sustained by the giving of God's people. He continues, in this day of declining church attendance and declining church revenues, the reality is sacrificial giving. In a little bit, we're going to ask you to sign some commitment papers. And basically, we ask you to sign those papers not so that we can hold them over you, but so that we have an idea of the budget that we can have in the sending forth of gospel ministers. Dr. Jones asks the question, how do we galvanize believers to engage in sacrificial giving on a sustained basis? The answer is not a new capital campaign or pressured mission conference. It is not an emotional appeal for the simple reason that the giving will diminish as soon as the pressure or appeal diminishes, unquote. It is my opinion that we must simply emphasize the need to hold the rope. And in so doing, remember fruit that may abound to your account. I was looking through some of my papers a while back, and I came across this investment note receipt. And the interest rate was 9.15%. How would you like to be able to invest your money today and know you're going to get 9.15%? You'd say, I will do it, right? Holding the rope. Do you think it's easy to hold the rope for a long time? Anybody want to do a game? How long can I hold that $10 bill there? We had at my house my 21-year-old granddaughter. I know it doesn't look possible that I could have a 21-year-old granddaughter, right? And I had a 12-year-old grandson. And I had a $5 bill, and I said, I'll give you the one that can hold it the longest, the $5 bill. So Travis did it, 12 years old, you know, he-man, right? And he said, man, I can take care of that. This is getting hard. And he held it for a while. I was quite impressed. And that's what it did. And then the 21-year-old granddaughter held it twice as long. She held it longer than I just did. Don't mess with Marlena. How long do you think you could hold it? You know, the thing is, some of you have been giving to missions for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, maybe even longer. But sometimes the grip just lets go. There are people out there that are counting on us. You understand that? They're counting on us. We're privileged to have a couple here that have a brother who is a missionary. And Rudy, Kay, I'm sure that you pray for your brother regularly. How often though is enough? Without ceasing, yes. We had Karen Worth with us. Our church has been supporting her for 45 years. She told me, she goes, there aren't a lot of churches that still support her that did in the beginning. She goes, you're one of them. For 45 years, we've been sending money to the World Baptist Fellowship, where she is part of that organization and the mission agency there. Man, oh man, that's tiring. Don't hurt myself. 45 years being on the field. Aren't you glad you can give? So that Karen Worth can be in Indonesia. She works with a national pastor there, and she's worked with him for 45 years. Single woman, surrendered a long time ago, When I entered the Bible Baptist Seminary in 1971, she was a senior. I was a freshman. I've always looked up to her. It's good to know that there are people that are still in the ministry. Many years serving the Lord. We're called to hold the rope. We help provide for them. But you know, there's a double blessing. They're blessed by our help. But are you blessed? Fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit that will not ripen here, but we'll see the results in heaven. Now, I do not know if those that are saved in South Africa because of money given so that Brother Mike Ferris could be there, or money that was given so that Daniel Boyd could be in the Netherlands, or as we've supporting the Leslies now for over 19 years, and we have been helping support the Croatian Bible translation. And I don't know if those people will come up to us in heaven and say, thank you. But there is one that is keeping a record. And the books will be open, and we will be judged according to our works. Not for salvation purpose, but for what we have done for the cause of Christ. In your bulletins, you would have found a commitment paper. It's not a pledge, but let me read to you what it is. Let me start by saying that the faith promise giving commitment papers are for our benefit in setting a mission budget. Faith promise giving is not your tithe. Your tithe is in obedience to the Lord. Faith promise giving is above and beyond your normal giving. And in a moment, we're going to tell you what it is. Faith promise giving is just that. It's giving by faith. It's saying, Lord, I believe that you will provide. And you will give accordingly. Faith promise giving is between you and the Lord. It's a paper you sign. But we have never, in all the years that these papers have been signed, ever gone to somebody and said, you know, you're falling behind, you need to catch up. No, it's between you and the Lord. Faith promise mission giving is seeing the need and responding by faith. Seeing the need. Holding the rope for those who have gone out to serve the Lord. And faith promise giving is not to be entered into without prayer and the seeking of God's will. Now that might be the hardest part of it all, is simply praying, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? And then once he lays it upon your heart, the willingness to go beyond. I'm not a salesman, and I'm certainly not a high-pressure salesman. I just simply am saying, if you would like to give to missions, be willing to do so. And you'll be amazed how the Lord will provide. And I say that from personal experience, of seeing the Lord bless us because of our willingness to do so. Shall we stand for our invitation time? 394, I surrender all. 394, I surrender all. As our ladies come to play the instruments and Pastor Stephen comes to lead in a song, if you'd like to come, you've been saved but you've never been baptized, we'll give you that opportunity to come and make that known. If you'd like to join the Covenant Baptist Church, you can let that be known. If you'd like to come for salvation, we'd be more than glad to show you from the Word of God what you must do to know Christ as your Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time together, and as this invitation song is sung, may the Spirit move, my hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.